He is a wrongdoer, ignorant. Within the same mythic time frame, God takes all of Adam's descendants out from Adam's loins and addresses them. He says to the children of Adam, "Am I not your Lord?" They all acknowledge his lordship. This is the covenant of Alast, a well-known theme in Sufi texts. Now, by this point, Eve has been created as Adam's companion, and the two of them are placed in paradise to roam freely wherever they desire. However, they are told not to approach this tree, which the tradition identifies as wheat. Hence, Samani frequently alludes to the fact that Adam sold paradise for one grain of wheat. When Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, the cry goes up in paradise that Adam disobeyed. This is a key event, Adam's sin, if you like. But in keeping with the general Islamic perspective, Samani never refers to it as a sin, but rather as a slip. Having slipped, Adam and Eve immediately repent, saying to God, "Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves." God forgives them. And the Quran tells us at this point, Adam's Lord chose him. That is, he appointed him as a prophet. In the same way, the Quran tells us elsewhere that God elected Adam, along with Noah and many other prophets. So Adam is a prophet. Finally, Adam and Eve are told, "Fall down out of it." This is the fall proper, through which Adam and Eve go down to the earth. It is perhaps important to note here that our author, Sam'ani, almost never refers explicitly to Eve. I will quote below only one passage in which her name is mentioned, the only passage I've found in his book. This is not because Sam'ani wants to devalue the role of woman, but rather because he is not interested in those elements of the myth that allow for a differentiation of gender roles. When Sam'ani says Adam, he means the human being, and that includes Adam, Eve, you, and me. Since he is dealing with the question of what it means to be human, he can ignore the question of what it means to be a man or a woman. For to distinguish between Eve and Adam is to set up a relationship between them, and this makes it necessary to discuss the nature of this relationship. But from Sam'ani's point of view, this is a secondary matter, subordinate to the question of God's relationship with all human beings. The divine-human relationship is the focus of the myth, not the man-woman relationship. The first question that naturally arises concerning the relationship between God and human beings is why God brought human beings into existence. In explaining this, Sam'ani keeps in view two basic categories of divine names, categories that are frequently discussed in Islamic texts. One category are the names that refer to God's beauty, mercy, gentleness, and nearness. And the other category are the names that refer to his majesty, wrath, severity, and distance. Unique among all created things, human beings can know God and his whole creation, since they alone were taught all God's names, both the names of majesty and the names of beauty. However, people do not come into the world knowing these names in any conscious way. Sam'ani points out that when Adam was in paradise, he had still not fully actualized the knowledge of these names. There, he had come to know the meaning of the names of beauty and mercy, but he did not yet know the significance of the names of majesty and wrath. In order to come to this understanding, Adam first had to enter into the earth. I quote here from Sam'ani. "God brought Adam into the garden of gentleness and sat him down on the throne of happiness." He gave him cups of joy, one after another. Then he sent him out, weeping, burning, wailing. Thus, just as God let him taste the cup of gentleness at the beginning, so also he made him taste the draught of pure, unmixed, and uncaused severity in the end. Since God is infinite, the possible modes in which the knowledge of his names can be realized are also infinite. Hence, it is not enough simply for the father of mankind to know God's names. All of Adam's children also have to come to exist, thereby bringing into existence everything that is potential within the original human nature. This means, among other things, that hell itself demands human existence in this world. For hell is nothing but that domain which is ruled almost exclusively by the names of wrath and severity, just as paradise is ruled by the names of mercy and gentleness. And just as the present world is the place where the effects of the two kinds of names are mixed. The fact that God is both merciful and wrathful demands that there be both paradise and hell. Hence, Tsemani tells us, God addressed Adam as follows when he wanted to explain to him why it was necessary for him to leave paradise. These are God's words now. Within the pot of your existence are found both shining jewels and jet black stones. Hidden within the ocean of your makeup are both pearls and potsherds. And as for us, we have two houses. In one, we spread out the dining cloth of good pleasure. In the other, we light up the fire of wrath. If we let you stay in the garden, our attribute of severity will not be satisfied. So leave this place and go down into the furnace of affliction and the crucible of distance. Then we will bring out into the open the deposits, the artifacts, the subtleties, and the tasks that are concealed within your heart. These two groups of attributes of God, God's gentleness and severity, are reflected in the two sides of Adam's nature, two sides that the Quran refers to as spirit and clay. Gentleness is connected more closely to spirit, while severity is tied more closely to clay. But to say this is not to devalue clay. Quite the contrary. For the qualities of clay allow Adam to demonstrate his true greatness. Without the clay, Adam would be an angel, not a human being. I quote from Tsemani again, "If there had been only spirit, Adam's days would have been free of stain, and his acts would have remained without adulteration. But undefiled acts are not appropriate for this world. And from the beginning, Adam was created for the vicegerency of this world." This last point is very important, and Tsemani often refers to it. The Quran states explicitly that God's purpose in creating Adam was to place a vicegerent in the earth. Adam could not have been the vicegerent if he had remained in paradise. I quote again, "Adam was not brought from paradise into this world because of his slip. Even if we suppose that he had not slipped, he would have been brought into this world. The reason for this is that the hand of vicegerency and the carpet of kingship were waiting for the coming of his foot." Ibn Abbas, the companion of the Prophet, said God had taken him out of the garden before putting him into it. Now here, one can ask the following question from Tsemani. If God created Adam to be a vicegerent upon the earth, why didn't he put him into the earth immediately? Tsemani offers several replies to this question. In the present context, he answers by having recourse to the nature of paradise, which is dominated by the attributes of mercy and gentleness. When Adam was first created, he was like a child, and he did not have the strength to bear God's wrath and severity. Hence God caressed and nurtured him for a while, until he gained strength. Then he sent him down to this world, where the attributes of severity and wrath are displayed openly. I quote, "Adam was still a child, so God brought him into the path of caresses. The path of children is one thing, and the furnace of heroes is something else. Adam was taken into paradise on the shoulders of the great angels of God's kingdom. Paradise was made the cradle for his greatness and the pillow for his leadership, since he still did not have the endurance for the court of severity." One of the several virtues of Adam's fall is that by means of it, he paved the way for his descendants to enter paradise. Thus, Samani recounts how God sent Adam out of paradise with the promise that he would bring him back with all his children. Here God is speaking, "Then the creatures will all come to know that, just as we can bring his form out of paradise through the attribute of severity, so also we can bring him back through the attribute of gentleness. Tomorrow, Adam will go into paradise with his descendants. From all the atoms of paradise, a cry will arise because of the crowding. The angels of the world of dominion will look with wonder and say, 'Is this that same man who moved out of paradise a few days ago in poverty and indigence? Adam, bringing you out of paradise was a curtain over this business and a covering over the mysteries. Suffer a bit of trouble, then in a few days, take the treasure.'" Like Rumi and many other Sufis, Sam'ani finds the key to the mystery of creation in God's love for human beings, and the human love for God that grows up out of the divine love.